April 13th, 2014. Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study from the book of Hebrew, chapter 1, verse 8. But to the Son he says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. This is the description of Son of God from Psalm. As you know, they use parables in the Bible, and we are encouraged to understand the parables. Disciples were reprimanded by Jesus when they didn't understand the parable Jesus spoke. I think it might have been parable of a sower Jesus spoke, and when Peter or someone asked the meaning of it, Jesus said, if you don't understand the parable, you would not understand the other parables. It's like Jesus saying that if you can't figure out 3 plus 3 equals to 6, there's no way that they could solve other math problems. So it is very important that we understand all the parables. So scepter or staff is used in other parts of the Bible. Moses used staff to part the Red Sea. And I personally believe that scepter or staff is a metaphor of a leader or teacher who indicates the way. And since they call it scepter of righteousness or straight scepter, there must be a scepter that is not so straight, which I think is a teacher or teaching that is not so straight. Bible says that the path is narrow and enter by the narrow gate. But if the teaching is not straight, the people who are under the teaching might get off course. That's why Jesus rebuked the scribes and Pharisees, saying that they will not only enter the kingdom of God, but they're also preventing the others to enter it and leading them to Gehenna, which is hell. Jesus rebuked them, saying that they travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, they make him twice as much a son of hell as themselves. This can be said for the modern day church too. You might think you're saved, but if you go to a church with wrong teachings, the teacher will go to Gehenna, but people who are under the teaching will be led to Gehenna too. That's what the Bible says. So we have to be very careful with the wrong teachings, which is the crooked scepter. Unfortunately, we see a lot of wrong teachings in the church, and the Bible warns that. There are a lot out there who preach messages that are only pleasing to your ears, preaching for their popularity. I got saved when I was in high school during the summer camp, but after I got saved, I didn't have any church to go, so I prayed and I found a church near my house. Not so near, more like 2 train stops away. And I walked there every Sunday, and I got baptized there too. But I didn't stay there long because their teaching was not good. I think I told you before, but one of the reasons was that they had an intern from a seminary who was openly saying that Christ never resurrected. That made my walk with Christ difficult because of that. And although I was still young in Christ, I knew that I could not stay there, so I left, which was the right thing to do. Then I prayed and I found another church, which I liked better, since their teaching was straighter than the other one. So finding a good teacher is so important. Of course, no teacher is perfect, including myself, since we are only human. The Bible says, and do not call anyone on earth father, or you have one father, and he is in heaven. So calling another human being a father, like the Catholics preferring Pope, is a wrong thing. And whatever the Pope says, all the Catholics follow him. And when he says there is no hell, people would just believe him. That is wrong. But if you understand that there is no real teacher on earth, and our only teacher is Jesus Christ, then it is very simple. He's the only straight scepter and the teacher. And when I figured that one out, I was already in my 40s, but things got a lot easier. I don't have to worry about finding a perfect teacher or worry about other people's teaching so much, since it is normal that they're all imperfect and then they make mistakes. But I am to follow Jesus and look at him as my teacher. And it says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life. But you can follow the path if you follow the straight scepter of righteousness. Verse 9. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. This oil of gladness is not the actual oil that you use. Speaking of oil, I told you about the spiritual warfare I engaged while back at Isejingu Shrine. A friend of mine and I, two of us, were there together. And he was a few years older than me, and we both believed that we needed to do that. So I went to Isejingu for the first time in my life, and then he also showed up wearing a nice suit. And as we were walking the main street inside of the shrine, he took out a bottle of oil and he started sprinkling it around, and he sprinkled some of it on his nice suits too, by accident. And I told you what happened to me afterwards, but we are not talking about that kind of oil. This oil of gladness is pouring of the Holy Spirit. And I do believe that we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in order for us to do anything as a Christian. If we want to do God's work according to His will, we do need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, many Christians are still living like the world and judging and seeing things like the world. The best gift we could receive from God is the Holy Spirit. God is no respecter of persons. There is no favoritism. So you don't have to go to someone to get impartation or receive anointing. If you go to Benny Hinn, Bill Hammonds, or other people just because of their big names, you might end up receiving a wrong spirit. The anointing you can receive is not from people, but by spending time with God in prayer. But if you don't spend time in prayer, other spirits of the world would distract you and dictate you. Talking about the Spirit, let's look at Daniel chapter 5, verse 12. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Daniel was a great prophet and interpreted dreams no one could interpret it, and he prophesied the world history. The success of his ministry was because of an excellent spirit, as the Bible says, and it was not only given to Daniel. We could all have that by strengthening your spirit and prayer, and we would receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When I was younger, I used to be a very careless person. Just didn't pay attention to my surroundings, and people always complained about me for my carelessness. And I really didn't know. I was not able to see those details. But as I grew older, God gave me more attentive spirit and ability to care for other people around me. I don't think Daniel was born that way, already wise and strong with an excellent spirit. I believe it is all work of God, and with God's Spirit, we could all transform in a way God wants us to be. It is a work of the Spirit. It is not how much books you read to accumulate knowledge. It is all in the Spirit and what you receive, and you receive it in prayer. So if you hunger and thirst for it and pursue it, you will receive it. But if you're lazy, and you will not get it, for God has no favoritism. And that's what was happening in the time of Jesus. Scribes and Pharisees were telling and teaching people, and they all ended up in Gehenna, as Jesus said, because they were pursuing the world. They were pursuing the wrong spirit, and they are not looking for God's anointing. Now, the same thing is happening in the Christian world too. We cannot be pursuing what the world wants, but we have to be after the Holy Spirit, which is everything. Verse 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Here, I believe that heaven and earth can also be a metaphor of the church. As you know, Israelite is God's people, and they are the descendants of Abraham. And God told Abraham that his descendants will be many as stars in heaven and sands on the seashore. Stars are in heaven and Abraham's descendants. Since we are grafted into his spiritual lineage, we are also part of his church too. And Abraham's descendants are in the sands, and where they are, the church of God is there too. But the next verse says, they will perish, but you remain. And I looked up the Greek version, and in Greek too, to perish is to perish, to be destroyed and be gone. In other words, his church will be destroyed. In the Old Testament, they call it Assembly of God, and they kill their prophets and stone them to death, and they ended up killing the Son of God. And as Jesus prophesied, the temple was also destroyed in 70 AD. And Jerusalem was invaded by the Romans. The temple was destroyed into pieces till not one stone was left. I believe the same will happen to the modern-day New Testament church, as written in Matthew 24, when he talks about the end time. Some Christians say the third temple will be built in Jerusalem, and after we see the destruction of that temple, then the end time will come. But there is nothing there to destroy, nor do they have any plan to build another temple anew. I think this is about the Church of Jesus Christ. And the headstone, or the cornerstone, is Jesus Christ. And I know it sounds harsh, but that's what it says in the Bible. It says in the book of Matthew and book of Hebrew and other places, every scripture we study, there are such warnings. So we should not ignore them, but we have to understand it as a warning that God is giving us. But as the verse says, God will always remain. And they will all grow old like a garment. Here, garment is also a metaphor for church of his people too. In the Old Testament, the northern tribes represented by Jeroboam asked Rehoboam to relieve the burdens of Solomon's reign. And when Rehoboam refused, they broke away and formed the separate kingdom of Israel, bringing the United Kingdom to an end. And when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, and the prophet Ahijah took hold of the new garment that was on him and then tore it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to you. So Old Testament assembly of church was represented by a garment. So the verse is saying that his church will grow old like a garment. Verse 12, like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. And that's what happened to the assembly of God, his church. The old one was destroyed around 70 AD, and new one was born. And I believe this destruction will come again to the Church of Jesus Christ 2,000 years later. And that's what the book of Revelation indicates. It says in the book that the first heaven and earth have passed away, and new heaven and earth have come. And it says, you are the same, and your ears will not fail. Some say that the church will not go away because God loves the church. But this is not my opinion, but God is saying that in the Bible, Let's look at the Revelation chapter 6, verse 14. When the sky receded as a scroll, when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Well, this happened to the Old Testament church, ending their history with the killing of Son of God. And the same thing will happen to the New Testament church, for we already see that change of church, like accepting other gods or homosexuality within the church, is a sign of that. And there is a similar message in the book of Revelation, in chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. But it also says that new heaven and earth have come. So I do believe that new church will be formed out of this chaos in the end time. Going back to the book of Hebrews, verse 13 and 14. But to which of the angels have he ever said, Sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So Jesus Christ is above all the spirits, including ministering spirits, and ministering spirits are there to minister those who will inherit the kingdom. I'm not sure if the ministering spirits help you when you're on the path of destruction, but if you are walking on the path of salvation as an heir of kingdom, ministering spirits are there to help you, like Jacob, witnessing the ladder where angels are ascending and descending. So if you're not seeing their helping hands, you might not be on the right path. But if you are, I am sure the angels are there to help you, even if you don't see them. But angels are not necessarily there to please you. Remember the story of Balaam and his donkey? He got mad because his donkey did not want to move forward because of the angel. Angel of the Lord was standing there with the sword, preventing the way. So if things do not work out in the way we planned, it may be that the angel of the Lord is preventing you to walk into a dangerous situation. We don't see it, but since the Bible says so, I do believe that we are always helped by them more than we know. So do not be ungrateful for their helping hands.